Hope they add up the numbers right in Georgia. Tomorrow is that special runoff election. How about that? It's 210 on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. John Ossoff and Republican Karen Handel are kind of locked in a political runoff. The congressman who was in that seat was picked to join the Trump administration.
Price.
So Price goes off to be Trump's guy. So then this seat's available. Neither of them got more than 50% of the vote. So then they have a runoff between the Democrat and the Republican. And that is tomorrow. The president tweeted about it today, recommending that people vote, of course, for the Republican. Tamar Hollerman is on a phone line, a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Tamar, it's John Williams. How are you? You are on WGN Radio in Chicago.
Thanks for having me. Hope it's a little cooler over there than it is here in Atlanta.
What do you guys got right now?
Oh, about 87 degrees and muggy.
Yeah, well, it's always muggy down there, isn't it?
That is true.
Nothing in the weather is going to keep people from voting tomorrow, though, I suppose. What kind of turnout are you all expecting?
As high as it can get for a special election. Typically, these kinds of things are pretty low turnout affairs, but given all of the attention that this race has gotten, we're expecting very, very high numbers, and that's what we've been seeing so far in the early voting.
Tell me about the two candidates. Start with the Republican, Karen Handel. What do we know about her?
So Karen Handel's a very well-known political figure here in Georgia. She was the Secretary of State, so she ran elections here back in 2010. She also ran for governor and very narrowly lost in 2010, and she also ran for senator back in 2014. So a very well-known commodity here, a pretty establishment-oriented Republican, very well-known. With the Democrat, we have a 30-year-old political newcomer, a documentary filmmaker and a former congressional aide with no political experience before this, and he's really lit up the race.
He got a lot of outside money, didn't he?
Yes, he did. They both did. This race has attracted money like we've never seen before. It is now the most expensive House battle in the history of time, more than $50 million by our count. So it really is just a flood of money from outside of Georgia.
$50 million spent on a special election for which the winner is only going to serve how long? I mean, the rest of the term, but it's not even 2 years.
Exactly. And you're going to be a backbencher in the House. You know, you're going to be expected to vote with your party leaders. It's, you know, you're one seat out of 435 members of the House of one half of Congress. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Tamar, why then? Why is so much money pouring into this race?
Because it says a lot about what could be around the corner in the midterm elections next year. For starters, it gives us a sense of what voters think of President Donald Trump. But what it also does is it shows us, you know, what Republicans and Democrats can do in 2018. You have Republicans trying to figure out how closely they should run to Donald Trump next year. Do they want to embrace him fully like the Republican candidate here in Georgia has? Or does it make more sense to keep the president at arm's distance? And for the Democrats, who want so desperately to recapture control of the House next year, they're trying to figure out if they can compete in these suburban, traditionally Republican districts like Georgia 6. If they can win tomorrow, they'll definitely get a big bump, at least in their own minds, about what could come.
You're the Capitol reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, so you follow the House and the Senate in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes, sir.
And is she running as a sort of surrogate for Trump? Is she trying to see what his coattails are, or is she herself trying to keep some distance from the president?
She's doing the latter. On the one hand, you see her, you know, campaigning with the president when he was in town, embracing the Republican health care bill. But she's also, you know, taken a lot of pains to put some distance between herself. She's not like David Perdue, our Republican senator, who sees himself as you know, a 100% ally. She's trying to keep some distance.
Well, what is Georgia like? I mean, you're certainly a red state. Georgia voted for the president. How do Georgians feel about, or in this district, I guess that's more germane, isn't it? How do people in this district feel?
Exactly. This district is very different from the rest of Georgia. Looking across the state, Trump did quite well here. He won the state by about 6 percentage votes. points. And he really did well in the rural blue-collar parts of the state in the north and the south. This district is much different. It is very wealthy. It is very well-educated. And because of that, even though it is traditionally Republican here, voters only went for Trump by about 2 percentage points last year. That's compared to Mitt Romney in 2012, where they went for him by 23 points. So that's why Democrats see a lot of room here. They think because Trump did so poorly last year that they can really capitalize off those voters, Republican voters, who might not feel the best about him.
I read somewhere that the group that they're looking to turn out are wealthy white women. Is that true? And if so, how are they a player in this game?
Absolutely. Wealthy white women nationally in the election last year did go for Trump by a few percentage points. But right now you see Karen Handel, the Republican candidate, really play up the fact that you know, not only would she be the first Republican woman representing Georgia in Congress, but also the fact that she worked for Susan G. Komen Foundation, the breast cancer research group, and she talks about how much, you know, healthcare is important to her. On the other hand, you have John Ossoff, the Democrat, saying, you know, at Komen, Karen Handel was the one who wanted to pull funding from Planned Parenthood. You know, he's constantly on the campaign trail with his fiance and talking constantly about the impact that women on his campaign have had in his success. So they really are focusing a lot on that demographic.
Did those women, didn't turn out for Hillary in this campaign then last time, huh?
Yeah, definitely not here. But they're seen as a crucial voting bloc tomorrow.
Well, I wonder if there's any buyer's remorse among some of those women. If they go, we weren't there for Hillary that time, we should be there for her now.
Something that I see as I go around the district and talk to voters, particularly on the Democrat side, is quite a few women who thought, you know, even if they voted for Hillary Clinton last year, they said that they kind of sat back and were a little complacent. You know, they didn't really, you know, they weren't volunteering, they weren't canvassing, they weren't donating, and they said they felt very guilty about that. And a lot of them are volunteering on the Ossoff campaign as a way to kind of, you know, pay back, you know, in terms of karma. So I'm seeing that quite a bit.
Talk a little bit about how the two are campaigning. What kind of ads are you seeing? How mobilized are they? Stuff like that.
Sure. Well, the Republican candidate, Karen Handel, talks a lot about her experience in the state, her experience in a local county commission, what she's been able to do. And she's also hit back a lot against her Democratic opponent. Not only does she say that the 30-year-old Ossoff is inexperienced, but she constantly highlights the roughly $30 million in outside money that Ossoff has been able to attract. Ossoff, on the other hand, has really distanced himself from attacking not only President Trump, but Karen Handel directly. He thinks that the best strategy for him to win independent voters and some Republicans is instead to run a more positive campaign, to talk about things like government waste, high-tech jobs. He's really trying to appeal to the middle here, and he thinks that's what's going to get him over the edge.
Wow.
Handel thinks it's all about her experience.
Boy, that almost never works, though, or at least that's almost never the way they do it. It's rare, by my observation, Tamar, to see somebody take the high road. This isn't one of those mud fests where they're both slinging horrible things at each other on TV?
There's plenty of mud, but a lot of the outside groups are doing it for the candidates. So not only do you have the spending from the two campaigns on ads and that sort of thing, but you have outside super PACs and the two parties that are throwing plenty of mud here. And during the two debates that we had in this race, they got very heated between the two candidates. But at least in this last few weeks, especially the Democrat has tried to kind of take himself out of the equation. Whether he'll be able to get away with that is unclear.
One last thing about that, though. I mean, for Ossoff, it must be very tempting to use this as a sort of, if you don't like Trump, then vote for me sort of thing. And while that may be happening on some level, you're telling me he's not overly making that point, huh?
Exactly. You know, when he entered this race back in January, he did it on a pledge of quote, making Trump furious. But ever since then, he's really walked it back. First of all, I think a lot of Democrats saw that last year when a lot of Democrats ran as anti-Trump candidates, it didn't work out so well for them. And especially in the 6th District, which is pretty heavily Republican as it is, if you're a Democrat, you need to fight for other votes outside of the few that exist in your party. So I think John Ossoff is making the gamble that even though there are people in the base who are very much anti-Trump and are voting for him for that exact reason, his way to win over independents and disgruntled Republicans is not to talk about the president at all.
The president tweeted 6 hours ago, the Dems want to stop tax cuts, good health care, and border security. Their Obamacare is dead with 100% increases in P's. I presume he means premiums. Vote now for Karen H. So the president has weighed in, but has he made much more of an appearance? Has he been visible in this campaign?
Oh, yes. He was tweeting on election night during our first round of voting back in April. And since then, he's really gotten involved in this race. He came down to Atlanta in April and he fundraised for Karen Handel. He sent some of his top deputies to do the same. Just last week, Vice President Pence was here to also campaign for her. He sent Tom Price, the health secretary and the man who held this seat for 12 years, to come down this weekend. And he's also cut a bunch of robocalls to benefit Handel. So he really is getting involved. And from what I can tell, him and his advisors in the White House are very much keeping close tabs on this race.
Okay, Tamara Hollerman, a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Really fascinating and really well told. I appreciate your time. Maybe we can touch bases later in the week after the votes have been counted. But what time do the polls open tomorrow?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's pretty early. I think probably around 7.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck to you all down there. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.